The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One Assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
There's a long history of paper champions that have earned your skepticism. From the Browns to the Eagles, there are paper champions, off-season winners, free agency first place finishers that you should doubt, but not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa, you have a Super Bowl contender. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Coming up on today's show, it's the second half of the Will Cain Show mockery of our draft. Our show mock draft with Nuno, Bubba, Mike A., Pat, and myself drafting in the stead of current NFL GMs. We kick off today with the 17th pick. That will put me on the clock with the Dallas Cowboys about 15 minutes from now. We'll carry you through the end of the first round here on the Will Cain Show. Plus, is it finally over in New England? The dynasty is dead, and a certain someone on this show might be ready to take a victory lap. That's all coming up today on the Will Cain Show, but it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. The news broke yesterday, late during the Will Cain Show, that New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski would return from retirement and was traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a fourth round pick. It reminded many from a clip a little less than a year ago, August 2019, when Gronk, speaking at a CBD presentation, said this about his relationship with football.
I needed to recover. I was not in a good place. Football was bringing me down, and I didn't like it. And I was losing that joy in life, like the joy. I'm sorry right now, but I really was, and I was fighting through it. And I knew what I signed up for, and I knew what I was fighting through. And I knew I just have to fix myself. If I have the desire to play football again, if I feel passionate about football again, if I'm feeling like I need to be out there on the field, I will go back to football. But as of right now, that is not the case. It could be the case in 6 months. It could be the case in 2 years. It could be the case in 3 years. It could be the case in 3 months. But I truly don't see it in the foreseeable future in like a week or a month.
It was the case approximately 9 months from that public statement. What's clear is the price of a dynasty is high. Rob Gronkowski didn't fall out of love with football. It wasn't football that was bringing him down. It was the New England Patriots. It's the price of excellence. And I think we've known that toll, that cost, for quite some time. Bill Belichick runs a meat grinder. A meat grinder that has produced 9 Super Bowl appearances and 6 Super Bowl championships. But it's come at the cost of the long-term enjoyment, the long-term commitment of some of that team's biggest stars. I think it became clear over the last year that Tom Brady was set to leave the New England Patriots because of that culture. I think this now makes it clear that Rob Gronkowski was done not with football, but with the New England Patriots culture. Please understand, this is not an indictment of New England. Just a simple cost-benefit analysis. A ledger, if you will, tallying up the pluses and the minuses. And I would imagine any New England Patriot fan, coach, or player would say the pluses heavily outweigh the minuses. But that doesn't mean they don't exist. That doesn't mean the costs aren't present. They are. And what they've done now is begin, I believe, the creation of a Super Bowl contender in Tampa Bay. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a Super Bowl contender. On paper, they're incredible. Probably the best passing game weapons in the NFL. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, O.J. Howard, and Cameron Brate. Whether or not all three of those tight ends remain will be seen. But find me a better core of receivers and tight ends across this league. I don't think you can. The offensive line is not as bad as everyone likes to pretend that it is. It's good through the middle, at center, and guard. And I would imagine in the next 2 or 3 days, it's going to solidify itself at tackle, either through the acquisition of Washington Redskins tackle Trent Williams or with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers first-round pick at 14. Yesterday, in the Will Cain Show mockery of a draft, representing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, our boy Pat selected Tristan Wirfs, offensive tackle out of Iowa, for the Bucs. Whether or not it's Wirfs or Wills or Becton or Thomas, they'll end up with a big-time offensive lineman. And then there's the defense, the thing that I think everyone likes to pretend isn't up to championship par. I think it is. I think it was a defense that got better as the season went along. And what more, it was a defense that was constantly put behind the eight ball, constantly granted short fields, constantly burdened with turnovers. You know by now that Jameis Winston threw 30 interceptions last year. You probably haven't heard quite as often that he fumbled the ball 12 times. That's 42 turnovers. That's almost 3 turnovers per game that defense was trying to keep from turning into points. Tampa Bay is a Super Bowl contender. In my mind, I think they're the front runner to win the NFC South. And I haven't forgotten about the existence of the New Orleans Saints. Both teams, for that matter, are Super Bowl contenders. I don't think the NFC this coming season is going to be dominated by 2 or 3 teams. I don't think, as perhaps the last 2 or 3 years have been, we can point to just a couple of teams that have a chance to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. No, I think you can almost point to half the NFC as a real Super Bowl contender. Would you really have a big problem if I told you the following teams could end up the end of this season in the Super Bowl? The Cowboys, the Eagles, the Saints, the Bucks, the Niners, the Seahawks, the Packers, the Vikings, and that's leaving out the Rams and the Bears. For years we've said the Bears with that defense, all they need is a quarterback. Well, now they have a quarterback that has won a Super Bowl in Nick Foles. And the Rams seem to be heading in the wrong direction, but this was a team that just 2 years ago was in the Super Bowl. That's 8 teams plus that I think have a realistic shot at representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. But please understand, I'm not trying an easy take with you. I'm not trying to slide one by you by saying, what are you saying, Will? That the Bucs are in the top half of the NFC? Real limb you're out on there, bud. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is cut it in half. I think the Bucs are in the top 4 teams in the NFC. I think the Niners, the Bucs, the Saints, maybe the Seahawks, those are your top contenders for the Super Bowl. Those are your best chances to represent the NFC. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are one of the best bets to be in the Super Bowl this next year. We wondered if Gronk would come back. He's made this team look like the offseason paper champion. We have been careful in the past on this show. I have been careful to never crown a paper champion, never crown an offseason champion. I was skeptical of the Browns. I was. I was skeptical of that team when it added Odell Beckham Jr. and added that to Nick Chubb and Jarvis Landry. And before you know it, they looked amazing on paper. I remember the super team of the first Eagles incarnation. You remember them with Nnamdi Asamoah and others that was supposed to win it all on paper. It's happened in the NBA as well. The Heat didn't come together in their first year, but I think this Bucs team is different. We wondered, would Gronk end up with the Bucs if he came back? There was talk, could he come to the Cowboys? Jeff Darlington, ESPN's NFL insider, said if he was going to play football, it was only really ever going to be in one place.
It is about Tom Brady. He wasn't going to play for another team other than playing for Tom Brady. Again, these guys are so close. Certainly it helps the fact that where Tom Brady ended up is a system and a culture that plays into Gronkowski's mindset to a degree that should make this incredibly fun.
Fun and fruitful. I think this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team looks great on paper. And within a matter of months, if we're playing football in the fall, we'll look great on the field. A Super Bowl contender. at Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Picks 17 through 32, the second half of the first round. The Dallas Cowboys, as represented by Will Cain, are now on the clock. When we come back, we'll go pick 17, 18, 19, and 20. If you are a fan of the Cowboys, the Dolphins, the Raiders, or the Jags, and you want to influence your virtual GM here on the Will Cain Show, give us a call, 888-729-3776. It's the last chance you get before your team totally makes a virtual meaningless pick in the Will Cain Show mock draft. Next on the Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
You know, each guy has his own set of skills. He has his own circumstances.
You're getting somebody that has magic in them.
If you want a guy to fit a ball into tight windows outside of the numbers, you found your dude.
The improvement from last year to this year was staggering.
Whoever's lucky enough to get him is getting not just good, not just really good. They're truly getting great.
If he's a bust, then we should all retire.
Pick 17 through 20. The Cowboys, Dolphins, Raiders, and Jags are on the clock for the Will Cain Show mock draft presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm on the clock first at pick number 17 with the Dallas Cowboys. That's coming up in just a moment here on the Will Cain Show, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. But Patrick in Southern California is on the line. What up, Patrick?
Hey, how's it going, Will?
Good.
So I definitely agree with you that obviously Tampa Bay is going to be on the upper echelon of the NFC conference, but I don't even think they're going to be the best team in their division. Even if Tom Brady and going there gives them three more wins, they're still going to be one win short of where New Orleans finished last season at, and I don't think New Orleans is getting worse. And, I mean, the perspective I'm kind of seeing here is I think overall Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay helps Drew Brees' legacy, because I think he's going to be able to beat Tom Brady. And being able to beat the one that most people consider the greatest quarterback of all time, I think will strengthen Drew Brees' legacy in the end of things.
All right, Patrick, I appreciate the call. I think that is a safe pick. I think Drew Brees doesn't have to adapt to a new system or a new coach or a new environment. I think Tom Brady has to do all of those things, making Brees and the Saints the safer pick. But I simply think you're taking a team that last year, and we talked about this here on the Will Cain Show. You know what we talked about? The frame we discussed it within was which teams will make the leap. Not necessarily from worst to first, but which will make the leap and be surprises. Because if you know year in, year out, there's massive playoff turnover in the NFL. And there's often worst to first, and by correlation, there's also first to worst in every division in the NFL almost every year. And before Tom Brady joined the Buccaneers, we were focusing in on the Bucs, who finished the season 7-9, but were burdened with that incredible turnover ratio. And they were just better than they looked. I've heard some mention behind the scenes in discussions with people who know. Perhaps some, though, those involved in the Buccaneers organization, they felt they were an 11-12 win team, if not for the situations they kept being put in by their quarterback. Now they have the greatest quarterback of all time, and as of most recently, they gave him his biggest security blanket of his career. You can go on to any social media you follow right now. Warren Sharp, Field Yates, I think everyone's tweeting about it today. Brady's numbers with Gronk, specifically Brady's numbers with Gronk in the red zone, are night and day. Not just from every other quarterback, but from Brady when he doesn't have Gronk. This team is not your regular off-season champion. the regular paper champion. This team is for real. And if it gets to the playoffs, do you want to be the guy betting against the greatest quarterback of all time? I don't. It's time for the Will Cain Show Mockery of a Draft. Yesterday, we did picks 1 through 16. I'm going to give you a quick rundown. It went like this here. Joe Burrow to the Cincinnati Bengals. In a surprise pick at number 2, our boy Pat took Tua Tagovailoa for the Washington Redskins, a pick I endorse. At number 3, Chase Young went to the Lions. Nuno, picking for his favorite team, the New York Giants, took the best offensive lineman in the draft, Jedrick Wills. Mike A. took Isaiah Simmons for the Dolphins, leaving Justin Herbert for me and the Chargers at number 6. Then, Derek Brown to the Panthers, Jeffrey Okuda to the Cardinals, C.J. Henderson to the Jags, and Andrew Thomas to the Cleveland Browns. Mike A. picked for his favorite team, the New York Jets, and he knows, don't get suckered into the receiver. Get the offensive lineman. He took Mekhi Becton. That meant I got the receiver for the Raiders, Jerry Jeudy. And there's some conversation today that Jeudy could be dropping. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a moment here on the Will Cain Show. Then Pat took CeeDee Lamb for the Niners, Wirfs for the Bucks, Henry Ruggs to the Broncos, and I took A.J. Terrell, cornerback from Clemson, for the Atlanta Falcons. And that leads us to pick 17 in the Dallas Cowboys, where I am on the clock. With the 17th pick in the 2020 Will Cain Show Mockery of a Draft, I select Kalavon Chaisson, defensive end, LSU. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
Boo.
It. Thank you, everyone. That's one hell of a football player, boys.
Bubba, you good with that?
I think that was the right pick. Fell right to us. Thanks, Atlanta.
Fell right to us, Bubba.
It's almost like Jerry Jones was picking for the Falcons to make sure that happened.
I know you think there's some collusion, but there's not. I'm telling you right now, the Falcons do like Chaisson, but they need a corner bad. And there's going to be, you know, I always talk about quarterback inflation. There's going to be corner inflation. Watch. You just watch. And Terrell is climbing. Hey, before we move on to the next pick, can you play? I did this recent podcast with a couple of guys who are Cowboys experts, Marcus Mosier and Jonah Tolles, and we talked about Jerry Jeudy. I just mentioned he could be dropping. They're in love with Jeudy. I'm going to let you hear this, but then tell you what's happening behind the scenes. Listen to this. They said if Jeudy drops, and in our mock draft he didn't, if Jeudy drops, jump on him. Listen to this. How many of them truly turned into wide receiver ones? And the one answer was Amari Cooper. Everybody else was a wide receiver two at best and a bust more often. So what did Jeudy and Lamb end up? I have to factor that risk into how much do I really need it and how much can I get that later in the draft, Jonah?
Yeah, and I get it. Look at the history of first-round wide receivers. Corey Davis, Mike Williams, John Ross. You just go down the list. Corey Coleman, Laquon Treadwell, Josh Doctson, and so on and so on. You have to connect that to these guys. I know it's unfair, but I think it's one of those things that you have to look at. And I think that's why some teams will pass a wide receiver and wait till the second, third round, where you see more of the value, right? We've seen guys like Michael Thomas and Tyler Boyd go at the bottom of the second round. So it's going to be played into that. But to me, I think CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy, and even Henry Ruggs, to that fact, are all better players than some of the Washington we've seen get drafted in recent years. That's not to say that I don't think they're going to be busts, but I do believe that they're a different kind of breed of receiver that we've seen over the last couple of years, more on that Amari Cooper level we saw in 2015. So I understand the scare from drafting Washington in the first round, but if a guy like Lamb or Jeudy, you know, these guys are legit top 10 players in this draft. And this draft's a really good top-end class. Talk about guys like Isaiah Simmons, Derek Brown, Jedrick Wills. CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy are in that group. And so if you had the chance to take about 17, I don't think you should hesitate.
There's Jonah Tolles along with Marcus Mosier on a Will Cain Show podcast specific to the Cowboys draft. You should go download that. It's in the Will Cain Show podcast feed if you're into the Cowboys. Let's quickly round out the last three picks of this round. For what it's worth, I bring that up because there's some notes that Jerry Jeudy has a balky knee and he could be dropping maybe to 17. But with the 18th pick, the Miami Dolphins are on the clock, and that means you, Mike A., you've already got Isaiah Simmons for them. What do you do now?
Well, I look at my coaching staff. I say, man, if these guys get raw talent, they know how to turn it into really good talent. I didn't take the quarterback at 5. I take him here at 18. Give me Jordan Love, and I'll turn him into a superstar.
Wow. You don't believe in Justin Herbert, but you believe in Jordan Love.
Darn
Love
right.
is the quarterback. It's supposed to bring Miami back. I don't know about that. I'm back on the clock with the Raiders. He's fallen far enough. It's not necessarily their need, but Javon Kinlaw. Some questionable medicals, but could be a top 10 pick. Otherwise, I would have liked to take a defensive back, perhaps Xavier McKinney, but I can't pass up on the value of Kinlaw dropping to number 19. And that leaves our final pick to Nuno with the Jaguars, who are on the clock.
I will continue to go through and improve my secondary, so I will actually take Xavier McKinney with the 20th pick here for the Jags.
Pleased I passed on him with the Raiders, who are pretty solid at safety. Xavier McKinney with the Jags. You've added him to C.J. Henderson, and now your secondary starting to look pretty solid. There's the first four picks. We'll finish out the first round as we go through the next 3 hours here on the Will Cain Show, but not next, because next we got our buddy Dan Orlovsky to come in, and I want to ask him, was Tua surrounded by too much talent at Alabama? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
This is Will Cain.
People are afraid to win. I don't care if it's football. I don't care if it's business. Most people go through life looking to avoid failure.
I don't know, man. It's lying season. It's smokescreen season. What's true? What's false? The current rumor is the Miami Dolphins are looking to trade up to number 3 in the NFL draft, but not for a quarterback, for an offensive lineman. Is that smokescreen? Is that lies? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Our buddy Dan Orlovsky is on the phone lines. What's up, Dan?
Hey, buddy. How are you doing, man?
I think it's lies. What do you think? You think the Dolphins would be trading up to 3 for an offensive lineman?
Yeah, I mean, come on, Dolphins. Don't pretend we're all stupid. Like, you don't move up in the draft for an offensive tackle. You just don't, especially one that has got a 3 or 4 pretty good ones, and you have 3 picks in the first round. You didn't trade away Laramie Tunsil last year to go use that pick that you acquired in that trade to go up and draft an offensive tackle. You just don't do that. So I think it's a bunch of baloney.
Look at you cracking yourself up. I think you would move up for an offensive lineman, except for what you said. There's 4 of them. I'm sure that each team has their preferences and their pecking order and their priority list, but I can hardly find 2 draft analysts that have the same grade in a row on these 4 guys, meaning a consensus. Jedrick Wills is 1, Tristan Wirfs is 2, you know, Mekhi Becton is 3, and Andrew Thomas is 4. Everybody's all over the board on this, so I don't know why the Dolphins would feel the need to jump up. Now, you do love Tua, so you think that's what they're doing? Are they moving up to try to grab Tua?
I would think so. You know, I've laid out ad nauseum, you know, why I think the Dolphins should and why I think the Dolphins will. And so I imagine, and I've stated this many times, did you trade away Laramie Tunsil and Minkah Fitzpatrick and got those 2 first-round picks just to draft first-round players again? Like, just to draft players that potentially would become really good players, which those guys were? I think the Dolphins are going to move up. I think the Dolphins have sat there. There's been reports that have come out that said they actually passed the Tua physical-wise at the combine. Their doctors gave it a thumbs up. And if you're the Dolphins, are you just going to sit there at 5 and cross your fingers and hope that he falls to you? Because the reality is that if you get jumped, my goodness, you look like fools. And even if Fitzy goes and plays well this year for them and they win 7 or 8 games, you're in year 3 of a rebuild with Brian Flores and Chris Greer, and you don't have a quarterback still. And so I think that Miami has kept it quiet and, you know, kind of pushed down to it and built up Justin Herbert, and that they will go get Tua.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think your analysis is spot on. You don't push off a rebuild. You don't trade away assets. You don't play for the future and then not come away with a quarterback to center that future around. I totally agree. And I want you to know this. I also think it's Tua. If I were running that organization, Tua would be the guy that I would go all in on. But let me not play devil's advocate, but I think, some very important questions. First, there's this. It's interesting to me that the world has divided into essentially a pro and anti Justin Herbert camp. He's the most divisive quarterback that I can see in this draft. Every year there is one, and he's the guy in this one. On one side, you have guys like Mike Tannenbaum and Jim Nagy who love Herbert. Jeff Schwartz, but he's an Oregon Duck. They love Justin Herbert. Love him. And then there's guys like you who compares him to Steakums. And others, there's other guys, our guy Mike A, we had Ian Fitzsimmons on the show yesterday, who are not big on Justin Herbert. Why is he so divisive?
Well, I think people look at the quarterback position differently. I would make the argument that I think sometimes people could look at the quarterback position incorrectly. I've never been in a front office. Okay, when I look at it, I'm looking at it through the eyes of my own quarterback life. I'm looking at it through the eyes of how I grew up watching guys. I'm looking at it through the eyes of how I've studied guys on tape when I'm watching tape as a player. And so seeing great players and good players and okay players, you know, the reality is everyone goes, well, Justin Herbert has everything you want, right? And we've always looked at the quarterback position like every other position in the draft. You got to be big. You got to be a strong athlete. You got to have a strong arm. Like, those have always been the criteria needed at the quarterback spot in the NFL. Needed. And what's happened with the space that's been implemented to the NFL and the RPO game, the necessity of the size and the big body and the rip arm strength is no longer needed at that spot. And I think that's hard for some people to overlook and overcome. So when you look at Justin Herbert, you go, wait, this guy's big. He does have the strong arm. He's a good athlete. He's super intelligent. He's a great kid. He's well-spoken. Like, why would you not want him as a quarterback? But what we've seen is that only gets you so far, that that player will become more dependent on the coach that he has and will become more dependent on the O-line and the people wide receiver-wise that he has around him to become what you hope he becomes. And I say this to people all the time, Will. You're not drafting the guy at five to be good. You're drafting the guy at five to be great, to be transcendent,
overcome. Hold on. If the RPO game and spacing and newfangled offensive coordinators have made those traits you're talking about, big, strong, big arm, less important, what have they made important? Like, what then instead of those things are you valuing because of the modern NFL?
Yeah, reactions and instincts, because those things force you to think super fast. You know, you're not taking a seven-step drop and reading the flat defender on a curl flat route that much anymore. You're still doing it. It's still part of your base offense. But, like, the RPO game forces you to think quickly. The instincts and reactions, because within your RPO game or within a zone read game, guys are going to be unblocked. You're leaving defenders unblocked on purpose. And so you better have the instincts and reactions to maneuver those guys. I think that understanding the quick accuracy is a bigger deal because of those things. The ability to throw from the different platforms that we know, like, can your feet be perpendicular or parallel with the line of scrimmage and still throw a slant? Guys didn't do that in the back in the day because they were under the center all the time. Now we're in the gun all the time going flash fake. So my feet are parallel to the line, but I have to read this linebacker flowing, and now I have to sidearm or slant behind him. And so those things have become more necessary. When was the last time you saw a quarterback drop back from underneath center, seven steps, and just throw an in route and take a shot to the middle of his chin by a blitzing linebacker? It doesn't happen anymore because guys are protected more, and we've realized that there's different ways to acquire yardage. And now it'll become cyclical and all that stuff, but the poise and reactions, the different arm angles, those things have become more of the physical necessities. You still want the accuracy, the anticipation, the poise, and all those things, but those have become more of the physical necessities at the quarterback spot.
Okay, this past weekend, Dan and I got into a little bit of a social media conversation, a back and forth, not a full-on debate and not a fight, about whether or not Tua was granted too much, whether or not he had too much going for him at Alabama. When we come back, we'll have that conversation. Is it possible to be penalized because you're surrounded by too many first-rounders in college? That's coming up with Dan Orlovsky on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. More with Dan Orlovsky next on the Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
This is the Will Cain Show.
Fake Will Cain.
Guys, I got to come out here and tell you, we got to have Lamar Jackson as the number one overall pick.
Terrible idea by me.
Yeah, I regret
all of my career decisions.
Trying to think what we should do for the draft tomorrow night. I love it. Maybe I go on Instagram, do like an IG Live. Y'all can come hang out with me. Maybe we get Nuno to hop in during the Giants pick, Mike A during the Jets pick. Go find me, C. Will Cain. That's C as in cat. Will Cain on Instagram. Maybe we'll hang out, do an IG Live. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Still hanging out, though, here with our buddy Dan Orlovsky. So let me get this straight. Two is a steak, a $60 steak. I'm just trying to see if I can fully internalize your analogies, which you've been
running. Get this right here, dude. Tua is a bone-in filet.
Oh,
okay?
Bone-in
Tua
filet.
Tua is a bone-in filet.
$60.
You go to a nice steakhouse. You order your bone-in filet. It's going to cost you $60.
Right.
But you're okay
right.
spending that because you know it's going to be good. And Justin Herbert
money.
Is Steakums, where it's like,
Steakums.
All right, this is what I got. Throw it on some bread, you know, some cheese. I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth, Will, like you. So, like, I had to turn to Steakums at times. So you throw it on some bread, throw it on some cheese or something like that, and you make it work. It's good, right? You'll take it. But I'm not going to spend $60 on it. It's not worth my money. My bone-in filet, I will gladly spend $60 on.
I love when you fall in love with an analogy, because you fall in love with an analogy. And I see you workshop it out there on your social media. Then it shows up on GetUp. And by the time you get to First Take, you got that damn thing honed down and sharpened like a knife. What was your last one? I can't remember what your last analogy was, but it was this steak
thing.
Probably
the house thing.
What was the house one?
I said Justin Herbert's like the really nice built house. You got all the upgrades, and it's in a good area, and all the bells and whistles. And then you, every time you tour the house and walk away from it, you go, man, it's a nice house, but there's something. Something's not right with it, and it can't sell. Where Jordan Love is this house that like really nice location, nice piece of property, but it's old and it's beat up, and it needs some time, and it needs some elbow grease, and it's some investment in it. And every time you walk away from it, you go, man. If someone just puts some money, time, and effort into that thing and invest something into it, it could be a dream home.
No, I missed that one. It was something much more embarrassing than that for you. It was something much
more embarrassing.
It was
probably something about the Cowboys.
Jordan Love, interesting that you did that because I want to extend your analogy. Okay, Tua is a bone-in steak. Justin Herbert is Steakums, which is fine, you say, but you wouldn't spend $60 on it. What is Jordan Love in that analogy?
Yeah,
don't be switching up to houses.
I was asked this morning. Jordan Love is like, it's like popping into Arby's, right? And like you get the roast beef sandwich, but you for it to really be satisfying, like you got to get the bun's got to be good. It's got to be just a little warm. It's got to be moist. The cheddar's got to be melted just perfectly. Can't be giving you this unmelted cheddar, and it can't be too much. And you can't just pick it up and drive home 12, 15 minutes and eat it because it's going to be soggy. Like you got to eat it right in your car. So it's got to have all the perfect kind of variables attached to it for it to be worthy of my purchase.
An Arby's sandwich is good. You just described a beef and cheddar, and that is a good sandwich right there at Arby's.
Yeah.
Just flat out. Yeah. I'll take one. Thank you. Speaking of having everything perfect, the bun and everything, the temperature just right. So we got into this. So I think this is astounding, okay? We'll let the conclusion arrive at itself here. In college, Tua had three first-round draft picks on his offensive line, four first-round draft picks in his receiving core, two this year, two next year. I think that's unassailable. I don't know where Najee Harris will end up as a running back because we never know how high running backs are drafted, but I think it's generally accepted he's one of the best in the nation. And then, of course, Nick Saban's the greatest coach in college football. don't you a little bit get worried that Tua had everything going for him at Alabama, receivers wide open, running perfect routes, Judy and Smith, and Waddle's electric, and Ruggs is flying down the field. And doesn't it make you a little worried that Tua had it absolutely as good as it gets?
Yeah, that's absolutely a fair question and conversation. You know, I think that it's almost like the Patrick Mahomes conversation for me. You know, everyone was going, well, is it Mahomes or is it the weapon? And I go, man, Patrick Mahomes' weapons are indisputable, right? But when you put up the numbers that he put up, well, if you're going to have the weapons, you better be putting up bonkers numbers. You better be doing things that are kind of unheard of. The same for Joe Burrow. Man, Jamar Chase is the best non-pro receiver on the planet right now. Jamar Chase is a freak at LSU. Mm-hmm. And Jefferson's going to be a first-rounder. And you go, well, Joe Burrow had all these good players, but he threw for 60 touchdowns. So, like, yes, he had all that talent around him. And the offensive line was a Joe Moore, but he did some, like, indescribable things.
And you pointed out to me, like, yes, other guys like Baker and Kyler had a lot, too. But I think that the person, first of all, I think Jalen Hurts is the best rebuttal to this argument because he had all the same things, essentially, that Tua did and didn't put up the numbers you're talking about, right? So that shows
but those
Tua
guys,
was a difference maker.
Passer-wise, aren't in the same count. Like, Kyler Murray had, you know, Joe Moore Award winners at the offensive line, CeeDee Lamb and Hollywood Brown and Grant Calcaterra. Like, he had some first-round weapons as well. Calcaterra was retired from football, but, like, he had first-round weapons as well. But he did, like, kind of bonkers stuff with it. And the same with Tua. Like, yeah, he had those weapons, but he's the greatest. He's literally statistically the best passer in the history of college football.
If all things were equal, Dan, would you rather see a guy come from Tua's situation or doing more with little? Like, look, you say Russell Wilson. You just brought up Mahomes at Texas Tech. You can't say he was surrounded by first-rounders. Peyton Manning at Tennessee, not surrounded by first-rounders. I got less than a minute, but all things being equal,
I'd rather
which
have
situation?
The guy who did more with less. No question. I'd rather have the guy because I know. You bring up a fair point, and I can't sit here and say with certainty, but I'd rather have the guy that did more with less.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I'm just asking you questions that I think has to be done when you're going through the draft. In the end, I'm with you. I'm the Dolphins. I take Tua, and I do trade up to 3 to get Tua. I think you have to. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, man. Good talking to you, bud. Go self.
Hey,
self,
seriously.
Distance.
What? If Justin Herbert falls to 17, I'm going to call you.
Dude. You jump on my IG Live. You do that. If that happens, we're going viral because I'm going to tell you something. Things are going to get broken.
I can't wait. If I'm praying for one thing tonight, it's that.
Okay, Dan Orlovsky here on the Will Cain Show. You know the Cowboys have a 17th pick, right?
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.